Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I've been speaking several times this week about really learning the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God in some areas at least. Make it more and more and more a part of your life. And I was struck by this verse where Jesus promises, "Whoever keeps my word will never see death." Whoever keeps my word will never see death, because his word, the living word of God, leads us into union with God himself. That's the purpose of it. It's not just a mental understanding. It's the word of God has power to actually transform us, reshape us, shift us. So make the word of God part of your life. Whoever keeps my word will never see death, eternal death. Hell will not be a part of us if we allow the living word of God to make its home in us, put down its roots in us, and transform us. And in turn, we can transform the lives of many others, not by us, but by the word of God that's living in us. We are always the servant of him, the servant of his word, the servant of his life. But if we take that position and fulfill it, you're going to have far more joy than you've ever known, really. Be near, O Lord, to those who plead before you, and look kindly on those who place their hope in your mercy, that cleansed from the stain of their sins, they may persevere in holy living and be made full heirs of your promise, that we may be cleansed from the stain of sin, may persevere in holy living, and be made full heirs of your promise. First reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 3 to 9. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him. "My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations." Now remember, Abram's old at this point. "You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham, for I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God." God also said to Abraham, "On your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages." Must keep my covenant. God made a covenant with his people that if we obeyed him and followed him, we would have life forever. So we just have to ask ourselves the question. Don't just say, "Oh, that's a nice thought. I should think about that sometime." You should think about it immediately. Are you really seeking to follow him and to keep his covenant? That is the commandments, to keep his covenant. Covenant with God. You follow these, I will be your God and you will be my people. That's real, brothers and sisters. The question is, are we? Are we living that out? Or are we giving at best lip service? The Lord remembers his covenant forever. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he has uttered. So recall the commandments. Recall what God has asked of us. Recall the gospel that you read each day. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God throughout the earth. His judgments prevail. Not the judgments of some king or governor or president in some part of the world. No, it's God. His judgments prevail. That's who we pay attention to. Yes, we obey lawful authority on this earth, but I'm talking about also, and even more importantly, the authority of heaven that gives us eternal life. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. Abraham was called even to sacrifice his son, and he was going to do it, and God stayed his hand. God knew that he had put him first in his life. Now, why is that important? Is God arrogant and God wants first place? No, God knows that who he is life for us, the fullness of life for us. And so everything else, anything that works against that, we've got to strip away, brothers and sisters, so that he can lead us. And not only lead us, but bring many others with us to the truth, to the one who is life, to the one who is the source of all love. It's not some figment of our imagination. It is the reality. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you," verses 51 to 59. "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." Now, they're very confused by that. So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" We would say, "Who do you think you are?" Whew. They're so blinded by their position and their status and their power that they are asking God, oh my, 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 they're asking God to give up what God knows is right because they obviously have the answer. And yes, they did not recognize the Messiah, but if they had truly been following the Lord, they should have been able to recognize him. If they were truly being obedient to God, true teachers to their people, God would have in some way revealed himself to them. But their obstinacy and their stubbornness, their hard-heartedness, blocked. They became blind and deaf. Jesus answered when they asked him who he really was. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Ha! You can imagine the mockery. Ha! Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. He has always existed and always will. I am." Present tense. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. I came across a little meditation that has bearing on this gospel, and I want to share it with you. It comes from Magnificat magazine. I want to share it with you. It is written by, man's name is Tom Verducci. He's an American sports writer and parishioner at St. Charles Borromeo Church in Montgomery Township, New Jersey. So here's one like us, in a certain sense. There are not all these degrees. He's not a teacher. He's just like you and I. Look what he says about all that we've just been reading. He says, "There is a mountain out west I like to climb whenever I visit there. As I climb, I am wishing that when I get to the top, I will have that small space to myself. As much as the view and the rest, it is the silence that I seek. For up there, where the wind whispers and the birds glide without care, and the earth curves away in every direction, it is in the quiet that I can hear the voice of God." Two readings involving Abraham caused me to reflect upon not just that place and that moment, but also how we hear God. The first reading begins when Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him. There is no mention of anyone with him. Abraham, an old man lying prone, is the very picture of giving oneself to God. Having quieted himself and his world, Abraham listens well. He does not speak. He learns of this everlasting covenant with God. Another reading finds much more noise. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Jews. They are doubtful. They challenge him when he invokes Abraham and God. Their skepticism grows into intent to harm. They pick up stones to throw at Jesus, who must engineer his escape. Amid serenity, the heart and the mind open easily to God. Monasteries and retreats, for instance, do not have Main Street addresses. It is amid the noise of everyday life and the influence of crowds and doubters that it is not so easy to hear the voice of God. But the voice of God is there amid the noise, just the same as amid the quiet. He calls us always, and it is upon us to listen well. And then he has a little statement at the end. He said, "Mountains not required. Mountaintop not required." We think, don't we, that if I just go to this place or that place, this monastery, this retreat house, etc., I can get away from the noise. And there's truth to that. There's really truth to that. And it's certainly a good thing to do. But brothers and sisters, if our hearts are really in the right place, if we are doing the kinds of things that I speak here about reading the Word, about frequently going to the sacrament of contrition, going to confession, listening to the Word, receiving the Eucharist, as we do those kinds of things, we are more and more able to hear the voice of God. And in a certain sense, to see what he's doing, to hear what he's doing. It's not physical, but it's very clear if we're willing to seek him. And that's why, as this man who must be very busy, if he's an American sports writer, he's busy these days. And yet he knows it's very good to go up on the mountaintop to hear the Lord, and he's done it. But if you're daily seeking him, even in the midst of the noise, you'll be able to hear his voice. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.